The new season of ABC's reality TV series, The Bachelorette, was all filmed and set to premiere last night, but parent company Disney said it is not going to air at all. That decision to shelve the show's 22nd season came late last week after TMZ published a video. It says shows would-be Bachelorette Taylor Frankie Paul physically attacking her then-boyfriend Dakota Mortensen back in 2023. And really, this conversation led to a conversation that I wanted to have with Gary McNamara, who is part of the board of directors for the Center for Family Justice, but also is in charge of the White Ribbon Committee, which again is empowering men against violence. But Gary, what's interesting is this is the opposite. I mean, how often do we have that misconception that it's only men who are violent towards women? At least in this video, it was the opposite.
Yeah, exactly. And it really challenges people's assumptions of what domestic violence is all about, because we know that men can and are victims as well. But people oftentimes only think of domestic violence where the men are the offenders. Now, most of the offenders are men in these situations, but this really shows you that men can be victims as well. It's very difficult to get a good number on it because men are even more challenged to report something like this. But this really, you know, we're watching it unfold, and that's really an important. You know, this is a really bad video to see because it's domestic violence and what's happening, and there's a child nearby. But it's also a great video to see so that we can start having the discussions that domestic violence is not just men against women. Men can be victims as well.
Yeah, and I think, too, Gary, that we sort of, right, so again, and this is without getting into the weeds, I have to be totally honest with you, I don't think I've watched a Bachelor or Bachelorette season since I was, I mean, a kid. I haven't watched it in a long time. I don't also follow, I know this woman is also tied to another reality show. I've never watched it before, so I'm not getting into the weeds about it. But what I think is interesting is, you know, this is a video that dates back to 2023, and you know, for whatever reason, and that it has surfaced right now. I'm not going to get into that, but I think the bigger thing is do you feel like, especially, I don't know if it matters, male or female, but we still have this real, I think, problem of speaking up about violent, you know, violence being in a relationship. And again, the way I say that is it feels like this was kind of common on both sides. It kind of feels that way. It reminded me of sort of the Johnny Depp and what's her name? Amber, so-and-so, like that situation where violence just kind of was part of their relationship from both sides, like, you know, whether it was verbal abuse or physical abuse or emotional abuse, where we almost become like okay with it until we're not okay with it anymore. Do you find that that's still an issue, you know, when you look at some of these situations of domestic violence, that we almost become okay with it until we don't anymore?
Well, I think this is a good example of a really toxic relationship that, to your point, it probably has gone back and forth where the fabric of the relationship was probably frayed long ago. And it was this was normal to them in a lot of ways, except for the violence part of it. Or maybe that was even there as well. And that becomes the new normal in their relationship until at some point it's not becoming normal. And to your point, you know, this was 2023. So, you know, we're just finding out about it now for a variety of different reasons, but it still points to the picture that toxic relationships, regardless of whether it's back and forth or not, you know, we've got to do a lot to teach people and to have discussions with young men and young women to kind of make sure that they understand what a true good relationship is all about.
Yeah. And again, we've got Gary McNamara here who, you know, is doing that with especially college age men with the White Ribbon Campaign. By the way, Amber Heard, I just couldn't think of her last name as I was speaking off the cuff. So I also want to talk about, it's interesting, the Center for Family Justice also over the weekend put a statement out there about a separate situation, not this one that we're talking about right now, Gary, but another situation that I was not too familiar with. I had to call you about it because I said, you know, this is coming from the center. What's going on? Could you talk a little bit about that one?
Yeah, I think so. There was an incident something came to light. And again, a lot of these come to light years later. And I think what we found was that an individual named Hugo Chavez, who was a very big labor individual, and a powerful figure, information came to light that he's now being accused by women of sexual assault over the last few years or several years ago. So it's just coming to light, and there's a lot of discussion about his power and the inability of specifically women to, you know, look, Melissa, we've had this discussions that it's very hard to come forward and be vulnerable and to be vulnerable about something that either occurred to you or is occurring to you on an ongoing basis. It makes it so much tougher to come forward if the individual is an icon or an individual with a lot of perceived power, because people become very fearful of the backlash, the public backlash, and whether or not they'll be believed or not. So what's coming out now is that there's several individuals that say that this individual, this Chavez, has been inappropriate and is being accused of some sexual assault activity.
So what do you do with these stories? And again, Gary's here, who is usually on because he's one of our law enforcement experts. You're still that. Don't worry, Gary. I didn't take that away from you. But today we're kind of really focusing on something that honestly was, I'm going to say, kind of born out of when Gary was the chief of police in Fairfield, which was his involvement with the Center for Family Justice. And I'll give you all their information at the end of this conversation. But when you look at the Taylor Frankie Paul story, or you look at the Chavez story, like, what do you take away from these, and what would be your message to people, especially in regards to, you know, in both these situations, speaking up, and that there's no timeline as to when the, you know, you obviously want to speak up sooner rather than later, but to do it obviously carefully, because there's also that risk of when you do say something, that's one of the scariest. I think if there's one thing I learned from the center, it's like the day that you, you know, take action or speak up or file that restraining order, or you move, or whatever it is, that's like the scariest decision somebody can make towards, especially their domestic partner, who's been abusive to them, right? I mean, that's kind of the biggest risk. So what would be the message to people after these types of stories emerge?
Yeah, that relationships aren't supposed to be this way. I mean, really, when you think about it, and the pressure to be in a relationship that might not necessarily be a good relationship, the pressure to, number one, get into it and think that that's the normal, and then not knowing what to do once you're there. Generally, these cases happen over time. So what we see with the chair being thrown in that argument in 2023, that didn't happen overnight. That's a building issue that occurs over a long, usually over a long period of time, where activity or if people come together and one partner or the other starts to assume more control and power over the other, and it happens gradually. And then once they become very controlled and dependent upon the other partner, it's very difficult to come out of it. And it's so hard to be vulnerable for, you know, we've talked about it, Melissa, for a variety of reasons, just to come forward and saying, I'm scared, I'm nervous. These are dangerous situations. We can look at it, you know, just this one in incident. You know, there's a lot of activity going on. There's chairs being thrown. There's a baby there. There's a lot of activity going on. And we know that this is just one incident of many that occur in households that were not even coming to light. And the big issue is we've got to get to people before they get into relationships to continue to harness the fact that what a good relationship is all about, and how you can move forward in a good relationship, and what a bad relationship looks like, and that there are resources there that people can come forward if they find themselves in trouble. We are here at the Center for Family Justice and elsewhere to help them through these bad relationships.
And I'm going to, again, give the link to the center for people who need more information, but also to contact if you need help personally or if you know somebody who does. How important is it, Gary, you just mentioned before, that we are modeling but also discussing what a good relationship looks like? And to the point of you're doing the White Ribbon campaign, which, again, is an initiative that is engaging that conversation specifically with young men on college campuses like Sacred Heart, where you work. But how important is it that families are having that discussion pretty consistently with their own kids? I don't know how young you would suggest, but to just have those conversations of what a good relationship and how you treat another person. I mean, how constantly would you like those conversations to happen, and how young?
Well, I think every individual is different. Every kid's different. So I think it really depends upon the kid and the conversation. But I don't think it hurts to have conversations about respect and what normal relationships look like. Remember, most of the offenders in these cases are men, but most men don't offend. And that's the key component. So what we want to do is we want to devote the resources to sharing with women how they can prevent it from happening, especially sexual assault, you know, how to prevent it, walk with other people. And we do a lot of work on that. You know, walk with somebody else, don't take a drink, cover your drink, all this kind of stuff to make sure that women protect themselves. What we're trying to do is to say, hey, if most of the offenders in these cases are men, but most men don't offend, how do we get more on our side? Mm. And it's not enough for me to say I won't offend. That's not enough. I can say, well, I'm not going to offend. No, I have to do my part to make sure that other men don't offend. And that's really what we're trying to get to, is if we can prevent it from happening in the first place, then maybe we don't have to have the discussions with women to say protect yourself, because the offenders understand that it's inappropriate to offend.
Right. It's kind of that same concept of why you don't leave your car running at the gas station and then walk away, because you wouldn't want somebody getting in the car. So it's the victim who has to arm themselves from that situation. And it's like, why do we even have to do that? That makes a lot of sense. And again, if people want more information, we're going to link more to the Center for Family Justice on our website. I'll link it with Gary's podcast on voiceofct.com. Gary, appreciate you always. Thank you so much for what you do, but also for giving us the time on WICC.